It's 10 after 7, and we've missed a couple of weeks of our Ephesians series. So I've tried to put a couple talks into one. So it's my goal to be done by 7:30, but it's going to be hard. So we need you to pay attention. If your phones are on, turn them off. You can ask questions if it's part of the talk. If there's something that comes up and you don't know what I'm talking about, then you can ask a question. We haven't started yet, Zach. That's not a question. How many of you were here for the introduction to Ephesians?
Yeah.
We saw the pictures of Ephesus.
Yes.
That cool or what?
Oh, yeah.
If you missed that and you're like, oh, I would have liked to see that, I finally did get that talk online. I think it's online now. I uploaded it anyway. So you can listen to the talk. It's the story of Paul in Ephesus. It's a really cool story. Or you can read it in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 19. Very cool. We went through some pictures. The pictures are on the website as well. You can go through the pictures, and the pictures were actually of all the places that Acts 19 mentions, because I was in Ephesus a couple years ago, so it was very cool. All right, so you can turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, which is on page 704. We're just going to walk through this passage. There's a few things that we're going to talk about, and this is the name of our talk today. It's called God's Big Plan. Have you guys ever wondered what God's up to? Have you ever looked at or watched the news, looked around the world and going like, what in the world is happening? Huh? Yes? It's true. You're watching what's happening in the world and you're going like, what's happening in the world? What in the world? Yeah, okay, I gotcha. All right, so we're going to start reading. This is Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, which was a city in Turkey. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, apostle was one of the people that had a direct revelation from Jesus himself of the gospel. So you had the 11 apostles, right? Not 12 because Judas screwed up real bad and then didn't repent. Peter screwed up real bad, but did repent, so he's an apostle. Now, they picked the 12th apostle was picked later in the book of Acts. You can read that. So, Paul, right here, is saying, okay, there's the 12 apostles, and then there's me. I'm also an apostle. Because if you read the book of Acts, we find out that Jesus met Paul on the road to Damascus, which is in Syria, and revealed himself and the gospel to Paul directly. So that's why Paul can claim to be an apostle in this use of the apostle. Yeah.
Did Paul start the Catholic Church?
No.
No.
No. Okay. He didn't start the Catholic Church, no. He started the Gentile Church. The Gentiles means non-Jews. Paul was the missionary to the non-Jewish people. He's the first one. In fact, the reason that we're meeting here tonight is because Paul took the gospel to the people who weren't Jews. Because I'm assuming at least most of us aren't Jews here. Okay, let's keep going. I am writing to God's holy people in Ephesus, which means holy people is the church, who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. And if you want to define the church, the church are the people who are faithful followers of... Yeah, easy one. May God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. What does he mean by united with Christ? Anybody? What's he talking about there?
Everywhere. He means like he's starting an alliance.
Well, okay, sort of. Yeah. Close. You're on the right track. God's presence... You've been coming to church on Sundays, right? You got that. God's presence switched from a place, which was Jerusalem, specifically the Holy of Holies in the temple, to a people, right? The Holy Spirit was given to us, but we're gonna get to that. We're going to explain that in a minute. So what it means to be united with Christ is when you become a Christian, you become part of Christ's body. That's what that's the imagery that or metaphor that the Bible kind of gives us for the church. It's Christ's body. All right, let's keep moving here. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy without fault in his eyes. Did you guys hear that? Even before the world began. What? God chose us. Is that not cool? Yeah. Even before the world began, that's a long time ago, that God already knew that you would exist. Isn't that cool? Very cool. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Christ Jesus. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So God was really happy about this whole idea of adopting you and me as his sons and daughters. That's awesome. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son, which is Jesus. All right, so the first thing we get from this text is that we need to realize that God chooses us. We don't choose God. God chooses us. Now you may be saying, whoa, hold on. Don't I get a choice in this whole matter? Yes, you do. However, what that means is that God always initiates. God is the one that draws us to himself. We don't go seeking for God and find him and go like, ha, surprise, God, I got you. That doesn't happen that way, okay? This whole deal is that God draws us to himself. In fact, the reason that you guys are here today, seriously, the reason you're here today, and you might disagree with me, but I know it's true, is that God is drawing you to himself. He wants to have a relationship with you. He has chosen you before the world began. He wants you to be in relationship with him. He's our Father. He wants us to be part of his family, part of his adopted children. Yes, Zach. Thank you. That's like saying amen, I guess. So God chooses us. And when God chooses us, then we have the choice. When God reveals himself to us, then we have a choice. The Bible says, actually, Paul writes in another book called 1 Corinthians, the book of 1 or 2 Corinthians, I can't remember it now. But he says that before you become a Christian, it's like there's a veil in front of your eyes, and you're unable to see. And what happens when you become a Christian, God removes that veil so you're able to understand who he is, and so that you're able to have relationship with him. That's really cool. And that's all because God initiates. God loves us, and he loved us first. That's why he sent Jesus, right? And it gave him great pleasure, that what we just read. It gave him great pleasure to adopt us as his sons and daughters. Just think about that for a second. Whose son and daughter are you? Who's your daddy? Huh? Who's your daddy? Whose son or daughter do you belong to? God the Father. Your dad is the King of Kings. What? That's pretty cool. Because he's adopted you as one of his children.
Yeah, you're
adopted. That's awesome. Yeah.
Okay, so my daddy is the King of Kings, right?
So your heavenly father, you mean God?
Yeah, so yes. If I walk into like a supermarket or something and say like, I can take this for free because my dad's the King of Kings, maybe you mean next on my throne?
Well, I would probably argue that your dad isn't, if that's what you're doing, right? Because if you're part of his family, that's not how we act, right? Exactly. Then God isn't that kind of king. He's not the kind of king who just steals stuff from people. It's like, ha-ha, I'm the king, you suck. Okay, sorry. Let's keep going. Okay. Here's also what it says here, that when God chooses us, it says that we're holy. In another translation, this one has limited ability here, but it says in another translation that God makes us holy and blameless. I'm like, okay, I don't know about you, but when I think of my life, the last thing I think of is holy and blameless. I think of, I got tons of sin, and I'm definitely not holy. But here's the deal. Here's the deal with what God does. When God chooses us, what he also does, he sets us apart. And he puts on us, he says, you are holy. And God has the ability to do that. God has the ability to pronounce things holy. If you look in the Old Testament, he even pronounced like ground holy, like the ground. When Moses, you guys know the story of Moses, he went up to the burning bush. What did God say? What did God say through the bush? Take off your shoes. This is holy ground. And how could possibly the ground be holy? Does the ground have any moral traits? Can the ground do right or wrong? Does the ground have a holy living? No. It's because God set it apart and said, this is holy. That's what he does to his people. He sets us apart and makes us holy. He adopts us as his children. And he is holy, therefore as his sons and daughters, we're holy too. Cool, eh? This is one of the reasons why I wanted to do this book. It's like awesome. Yeah.
Say, when we go to heaven, will we have the power to
levitate? We'll be able to walk through walls, dude. It is. And the reason that we're blameless, so that's holy, the reason that we're blameless is because Jesus, or in some translations it says faultless, is because Jesus has taken our sin from us. He's taken it away. In fact, the Bible says that he became sin for us. He became our sin. He who was without sin. Jesus didn't sin. But he took our sin in him and died for our sin. So when he died on the cross, your sin died with him. That's why God can say that we're blameless. It's because when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our bad deeds. That's pretty cool. And then we become blameless in his sight. That's what becoming a Christian does. Like, this is some cool stuff, you guys. Okay, we need to motor on here. Here's the last thing that I want to talk about when God chooses us. He chooses to adopt us. And what that means is that we become part of his family. And this is cool, because it's not because we're so lovable or good that God chooses us. You guys realize that? It's not because you're a good person that God chooses you. None of us are good people. We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. He doesn't choose us because we're lovable or good. So why do you think God chooses us? Because even though we're sinners, even when we are sinners, Christ died for us. That's how he demonstrates his love to us. Is that he on the cross, it's a demonstration of his love. That he loved us so much that he was willing to die for us. So that we could become a part of his family. So that we could become holy and blameless. And so that we could have forgiveness of sin. Yeah, Zach. That's a good question. Well, here's how you get adopted into God's family. God chooses you, and this is where we go back to the start. At that point, now you have a choice. God draws you, God chooses you, but you can reject him. You can say no to God. The book of Romans says that all men are without excuse because of what God has made and his invisible qualities that he has that we can see through creation. That's some pretty strong words. So if you want, yeah, the answer to that question is the ones that God adopts as his children are the ones who follow Jesus, who accept his offer of salvation. Yeah.
Do people that are like hermits, we never even had a chance to like believe in God, would they go to hell?
Well, the Bible says that everyone has that chance. In fact, I just quoted that scripture in Romans, that everyone is without excuse because of what God has made. See, we would choose to reject that, and we walk. It's called, the theologians call that general revelation. So general revelation is God revealing himself through creation. And so we're all sinners, right? We all fall short. And the only way that we can come to God is through Jesus. And Jesus says that. There's no way except through me. Let's go on to verse 6 here. Or sorry, verse 7. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with his blood of his son and forgave our sins. Awesome. He purchased us. This is like a transaction. So when you think of the cross, this is the kind of language that Paul is using. It's a transaction that Jesus paid for you, for your sin. He purchased you. When God draws us to him, when we become part of his family, Jesus paid a price. And you guys remember the relationship series where we talked about that we've been bought with a price, a very costly price? And the price was actually the blood of Jesus, that he died for us in order to give us salvation, in order to forgive our sins. Yeah? Okay. No, you're just agreeing?
Yeah.
Okay, good. He gives us forgiveness of sin, and let's just keep going. What else does God bless us with? He has showered his kindness on us. So he gives us kindness. Awesome. With all wisdom and understanding. So God blesses us with forgiveness. He blesses us the fact that even though we were supposed to die because of our sins, he died. That's what it means when he purchased. He took our place. He died for us because we deserve death because of our sin. He gives us, he blesses us with forgiveness of sin and with wisdom and understanding. Remember we said that God draws us, there's a veil, and until God removes the veil, we can't understand him, we can't see him, we can't even find him. Well, when we do, God gives us wisdom and understanding. Very cool. All right, let's move on to, see, now we're cruising, right? Let's move on to verse 9 here. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ. Ooh, mysterious plan. That sounds fun. A plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. Get this? This is the plan. This is God's, we talked about the name of the talk, is God's big plan. This is it. Listen up. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Good question. We're going to talk about that right now. Because right now, there's tons of movies, there's tons of people saying the world's going to end, the Mayan calendar's going to end, so there's all these doomsdayers, right? The world is going to end. And they promote lots of fear, and so you hear guys, if especially, you know, my suggestion is not to watch Christian TV, because the teaching sometimes is just horrible. But you see these guys on the Christian television networks, and they're talking about the end times, they're talking about this, they're talking about that, and they're stirring up fear, and everyone's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But here's the deal. This is what God is showing us. This is the mystery. All these people, I don't know if they've read this verse. He's showing us this is the plan, that everything on heaven and earth is going to be brought under one head, under Jesus, under his authority, everything. So everything that's happening in our world today is working toward this one goal. And here's, just let me finish the verse here. This is what he says to qualify this. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance and makes everything work out according to his plan. So you get this? God's got a plan, everything's working towards it, and everything is going to work out according to what he says. Not what everybody else says, not what all the guys are predicting, not what all the scary movies are telling us. You know, we're like, whoa, the end of the world. Not greenhouse emissions, not nuclear explosion, the earth's going to blow up, we're going to kill ourselves. It's not going to be any of that stuff. It's actually, God is working out a plan, and it's going to happen his way. 100% guaranteed. He started the plan. The climax of the plan came with Jesus. And now we're in the last part of the plan where, well, that, you know, that was the climax, but it's going to be even greater when Jesus returns. Jesus said he's going to come back the second time. Yes. Well, obviously he doesn't know then, right? The Bible says that nobody knows the end. Nobody knows what's going to happen. Only God the Father knows. He's the only one. And the Bible also says the reason why it's not ending right away is because God is patient. You know why he's patient? Because he loves us and he desires that everyone should be saved. That's God's desire. That's why when I said at the start that the reason you're here is God's drawing you, it's because it's his desire to have a relationship with you so that you might be saved, both in this life and the next. We got questions everywhere. Yeah. Because he put together this plan that we're talking about right now to save us. Because he loves us, right? If he's willing to die for us, he died for Adam and Eve too, right? Jesus on the cross, in fact, the very first promise where we see God's plan coming into action was to Adam and Eve, that God would provide a plan of salvation. We just talked about that. Nobody knows except the Father. That's a good question, though. Yeah, Austin. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it says before the world was even started, right? You know what? God didn't. When Adam and Eve sinned, God didn't go like, "Oh, I didn't see that one coming," right? They didn't surprise him like that. God knew Adam and Eve's heart, and it grieved him deeply. And even though he knew what was going to have to happen, like the Like, if you guys have ever talked, we can't talk about crucifixion today, but it's just horrendous what Jesus went through for us. Unbelievable. And someday we'll talk about it, but not today, yeah. Wes? I don't think so. I'm not going to provide any scriptural evidence. I don't think they will, but there will be animals in heaven. I don't know if it's the ones that are here. There's got to be if we're going to have a big steak. Sorry. I guess no, Jesus could just make a steak. There you go. Okay, let's keep going. We're getting bogged down here. But this, okay, finally, let's finish this, and then we'll, if you have a couple more questions, we can, because it's time for small groups. All right, where are we here? Right, verse 12. God's purpose was that we Jews, see, Paul is a Jew, that we Jews who were first to trust in Christ, they were the first ones to believe in Jesus, right? All the first believers were Jews, would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. That is awesome news. And when you believe in Christ, he whom he promised long ago, sorry, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee. Listen closely to this, guys. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised, and that he has purchased us, say that word again, that it's like a transaction. He has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so that we would praise and glorify him. So finally, okay, let's review. God chooses us. God chooses to bless us. God enlightens us, remember the mystery, and tells us his plan. He doesn't keep it hidden from us. He's revealed to us the mystery. This is what's going to happen. And finally, he gives us his Spirit. Possibly the greatest gift of all is that God actually comes to dwell within you in the form of the Holy Spirit of God. Like, this is, like, we've talked about this lots, but it blows your mind when you really think about this, that the God who breathed existence in through a word, you get this, nothing, there's nothing, and then God says something, and the world begins. Like, this is the power of this being. This God, the same God that created everything out of nothing, lives in you. Yes, Kale. What? The Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yeah. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. What's that? It's three persons, one God. They're not three people. They're not people. Persons. Which they're not men or women, right? God is a being that's, you know, we can't, it's time for small groups. We've had this question before, and I cannot explain the Trinity to you in a very short time. But here's, my little girl just asked me this question. She asked me, a little boy from her school asked her, or told her that there was two gods. So she asked me, Daddy, is there two gods? And I'm like, no, there's just one. And I was like, why? She said, well, there's a boy at school. I said, there's two. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so she asked me, well, you know, is there three? Like, what's going on with this whole thing? So I'm trying to figure out, how do I explain the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons, one God, to a little girl who's seven? And so as I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, the Bible says that the Lord our God is one. There's one God. And as I'm thinking, but there's three, and she goes, parts? I'm like, okay. So to my seven-year-old, three parts, one God. Okay? Three parts make a whole. Exactly. It's one God. So it's really hard for us to understand, because we can't understand a being that isn't one part like us. You could say we have spirit, soul, or mind, soul, and body. That's kind of like three parts of us, that we're created in the image of God like that. You know, that's kind of like that. But it's more distinct than that. These are distinct persons. So, but yeah, that's like, good question, but you're never going to understand it. I still don't. There you go. And we will someday when we see him face to face. Maybe.
He doesn't have like a split personality.
No, it's not a split personality, dude. It's three distinct persons. Okay, here's the point, guys. God has a plan, and it's going to happen his way. No matter what we think is going to happen, no matter who we choose to believe, who says what's going to happen, no matter what we think is going to happen, too bad. What's going to happen is God's plan. Because if you read the Bible, Everything has happened according to his plan. There are hundreds and hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament. All of them have come true. And it shows that God has a plan and he can work it out. There was prophecies about Jesus, in fact, back in the garden with Adam and Eve. And then like 1,000 years before Jesus came, there was like the Psalms had prophecy. 700 years before Jesus came, the book of Isaiah, if you read the book of Isaiah, is full of prophecies about Jesus. Like specific things that happened to Jesus 700 years before he was even born. All right. No matter what happens, okay, so here's the deal, guys, before you go to your small groups. No matter what happens around us or what terrible circumstances we find ourselves in, because some terrible things can happen to you, right? And may have happened to you. God will work out his plan according to his purposes. You can rest assured on that. Nothing can stop it. Nothing takes God by surprise. You don't need to be alarmed by what the wackos on TV are saying, or the movies, or you know what even someone you might trust is trying to say and creating fear in us and scaring us. As a Christian, you don't need to fear that the world is spiraling out of control. You have calm assurance that Jesus is with you and that God will never abandon his people, because God has promised not to abandon us. In fact, Jesus said, I will be with you always, and God never, ever breaks his promises. As everything in all creation works towards God's ultimate goal, that it would all be brought under Christ's authority, both in heaven and earth. So that's the first chunk of Ephesians. So I'm going to pray for you guys, and then you can go to small groups. And I know you guys got questions. I see it. I see those hands going like, but we got to go to small group. So if you got more questions, leaders are going like, oh no. But they would love to answer your questions. That's part of this whole process. That's why we have these groups. So if you have questions about this stuff, take the Bibles with you to the small group and talk about some of the questions you might have come up during this talk. Okay, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be scared. We don't have to listen to the guys that are saying doom, doom, doom. It's all going to end. We don't have to be afraid of that. And we have you to thank for that. Because as we look through history, everything has worked according to your plan so far. There's no reason for us to believe that somehow that you're not big enough or strong enough or great enough, that all of a sudden now the plan can't work. So, Lord, we have confidence in you, and we thank you because you've given us that confidence. Thank you that we can know, and that because we're united in Christ, because we're your children, because you have chosen us, and in turn we have chosen you, that we can be saved, that you have given us your Holy Spirit, guaranteeing that deposit, that inheritance that we'll receive someday in heaven. And, Lord, we just thank you for that. What an awesome thing. So, Father, I just pray for these kids as they go to small groups. If they had questions that were churning in their mind during this talk, I pray that you would bring it to mind. I pray that you'd give our leaders wisdom as they answer the questions, that you would just bless this time as we go to small group. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.